Greetings, Mito Church, in the name of the Lord. It was a great honor when I was approached to speak to you over video this morning, and I was excited. Charity and I often think back to our visit to Mito, and the wonderful time of worship and fellowship that we enjoyed with Joel, Hero, and all of you. I'm grateful for the miracle of technology that makes this possible. We have been very busy since we last saw you. 9 months after we visited, Charity and I became foster parents to 3 children that we are hoping to be able to adopt. Darnell is 3 years old. He is polite and helpful. Sada is 2 and loves to break things. Our baby, Sugar, has just turned 1 and loves to walk and shout. Myself, I've never been so tired in all my life. I'm also excited to be speaking to you about the book of Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible, describing what it means to have our lives transformed by the Holy Spirit and how the effect that God has on our lives can change the lives of those around us. The passage that I've been asked to speak on is one that is often referenced but rarely understood. It tackles important subjects like marriage, work, and family, and tells us how to live our spiritual lives into them. And each of these are important and have tremendous effect on their own, but if we look at each of these by themselves, we can miss the bigger picture. Our scripture reading is Ephesians 5, 22 through 6, 9. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, thus he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Surface, if I was to ask you what this passage is about, you might say that it's about marriage, or family, or masters and slaves. But Paul's primary intention here is not to teach on any of these subjects. Instead, he is using them as an illustration of what he says in verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. And Paul continues to explain what that looks like. Being filled with the Spirit, it means singing together. It means giving thanks in your heart. And one more thing, it means submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Verse 22, at least in the English, I don't know about the Japanese, but it sounds like it's the beginning of a new sentence. In the Greek that Paul wrote, that's not true. This is a continuation of an idea of what it means to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And while each of these three examples are good illustrations, this text is talking about something bigger. Power. When someone has power over you, how do you submit in reverence for Christ? But that's the easy question, I think. The harder question is when you are in a position of power, how do you use your power in submission? How can you be both in authority and in submission to Christ? And the answer here is one that is able to transform all of society. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's the day that the disciples got a glimpse into the reality of Jesus Christ as he was transformed into his full glory. And the good news of Jesus is that the reality of heaven can enter into our world and bring transformation to us. Through the Holy Spirit, we are transformed. Our relationships are transformed, and even the world can be transformed. And it happens by how we approach power and submission. Is power something that we use to get what we want without considering the people we have power over? Or is power something we use to demonstrate love to those we have power over? And if we understand this principle, we can apply it to our marriage and family and our work, but also to education, medicine, government, and yes, even your local GOMI enforcer. So I want to look at this passage, not topic by topic, but by first looking at the instructions to those without power, and then to those with power. To those without power, the wives are told to submit. Do what you are asked. In Jesus' time, women had very few rights, and they were servants to their husbands. And they are told not to revolt, but to submit and to serve their husbands, even the bad ones, as if they are serving Jesus Christ himself. Children are reminded to honor their parents. This is one of the Ten Commandments, but it's also a universal rule in every society. Children should listen to, obey, and bring honor to their parents. And not every parent is honorable or deserving of honor, but that is not relevant. What is important is that obeying your parents is right, and God requires it. So if you don't do it for your parents, at least do it for God. The third example is slaves or servants. And today this might relate to our work. In English, we use a term, wage slaves, to refer to working. And the instruction here is similar to the others. Servants, obey your earthly masters as you would Christ. Do your work for God rather than for your master. And that is good advice. I would hope that you would work better for God. Especially, again, if you have a bad master who makes you want to cut corners or slack off. And each of these tell us what to do when we find ourselves in a position without power, where others are telling us what to do because of their role in the world, where people like husbands and parents and employers can be hurtful and mean and use power for their good and not yours. And in those situations, we're called to submit and do it joyfully. Submit because you are submitting to God. And when we submit to God, we are following in the footsteps of Jesus, who submitted his will to God at the cross. And being led by the Holy Spirit, who calls for us to submit to others. When you're in such a position where others are in power over you, the impact of your submission will be limited. It will change your heart, and that's important. And it may change the heart of your husband or your parent or your master. But joyfully doing what society asks of you will only be noticed by a few. What is really transformational about this teaching is not the advice to wives, children, and slaves, but to husbands and parents and masters. To those who have power, how do you use it? And the fact is, many of us do have power. We may not be prime minister, but every husband, every parent, everyone who has subordinates at work, as well as everyone who's in leadership, in church, or in community, we have more power than we realize. And the Holy Spirit wants us to use that power, not for ourselves, but in submission to Jesus. Imagine a husband who, even though he controls the finances and makes all the decisions, every decision that he makes is based on what is best for his wife. In fact, he gives up his own pleasures so that his wife can indulge. For some of us, it's hard to imagine. But in reality, it's just a small example of what husbands are called to do. Called to lay down their lives for their wives, just as Jesus laid down his life for the church. Jesus gave up everything and held on to nothing. A husband like that would be very easy to submit to. But the love that would radiate from that family and the joy in that marriage would be something that we only see in movies. Or take parents. As a new parent, I've made a discovery. I have all the power in the relationship. I control what they eat and when they eat. I tell them when to wake up or go to bed. And my children, I believe, their favorite thing in the world is to provoke me to anger. I dress them and they get undressed. They ask for something and when I give it to them, they don't want it anymore. When we buy them a new toy, their favorite thing to do is break it. They live to frustrate me. And if I wanted, because I have all the power, I could frustrate them too. I could promise them their favorite snack and then say no. Or turn off their television when it gets to their favorite part. Or when they shout at me and cry, I could just shout back at them. After all, I am an American. And many times I'm tempted to do these things. But if I'm led by the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, you know that it's wrong. Because we're called to use our power for good. Or consider the master who values his employees and treats them as a brother rather than as a servant. Who instead of using his employees' labor, he loves his employee. Who instead of trying to exact every last drop of energy and profit, sacrifices a little profit so that employees can get a full night's sleep. Who instead of treating them like objects or machinery, treats them as family. Could you imagine the influence that one boss could have on hundreds of lives if they dared. Each of these would bring transformation. Transformation of a marriage, transformation of a family, transformation of work. And this extends well beyond these examples. Imagine if everyone, led by the filling of the Holy Spirit, used their power for the good of others rather than the good of themselves. The whole world would be transformed. At some level, we can't be blamed if we don't understand it. Many of us have never seen this practiced. Our fathers lorded over their husbandry over our mothers, domineering them. Our mothers would sneak behind father's back rather than submitting. Our parents would sometimes treat us unfairly and drive us to anger. Our bosses don't care about us outside of work. And every example that we have in the world of how to use power is divisive and controlling rather than filled with the Spirit and love. But this is where Jesus changes us. This is where we are transformed. And as we learn to do this, we transform our own situations where we are powerless. And where we have power, we transform our families, our communities, and our world. We don't need to know how to do it out of our own strength. We now have the Holy Spirit, and He is able to lead us in this truth. And even if we never learned how to do it, if we seek God's will through prayer, and we seek God's wisdom through Scripture, and we act in the filling of the Holy Spirit, God will teach us to live in a world that runs on power, but to live our lives by the power of love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit and for your wisdom. It is difficult to submit our own will to others, but thank you for reminding us that when we submit not to them, but to you. Help us to deal in love with those who have power over us, and help us to share your Spirit wherever we have power over others. Amen. Bless you and keep you, Meadow Church.
Miracles. Oh.